Okay, there's only one schmooze here. That's to calm everyone down. I'm not saying 10 schmooze him. There's one schmooze. And but the beauty of the whole idea of saying a schmooze is to bring out the koach hatzir, out even in such a situation, even Avraham Avinu, even Moshe Rabbeinu, even, so it's all the koach hatzir. So all the marmakomas are just adding to the koach hatzir, but it's only one schmooze. So, and if I would just do the schmooze and say the marmok, you know, and not do all the koach hatzir, so some of them are like obvious. So I would only have 1, 2, and 3 over here. So don't get so nervous. Okay. So let's start. This is the Rabbi Kier gave a beautiful shmooze on Shabbos, the Bikurim. So this is the psukim of Bikurim, that a person brings the tenna, the basket, and he goes to the base of Migdash. Uvosel haKohen asher yeh b'yom mehem. He comes to the Kohen. V'amarte elav, you tell him. So Rashi says, V'amarte elav, she'eincha kafei tova. You have to tell the Kohen, when you're bringing this basket of fruit, your first fruits, always imagine you, the first fruits that come off the tree is even more special, and you go to the Kohen, she'eincha kafei tova, and you say to the Kohen that I'm not kafei tova, I'm not an ingrate. Now, what are you ingrate about? So Sisham says, "She'eincha kafoy tova lomar." You're not such an ingrate to say, "Kochenu v'otzem yodenu osa lanu esachayel hazeh." That is, it's our own strength and might that produced this soldier lichbosh esaretz, to capture the land of Canaan, to capture Eretz Israel. But rather, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu nishba lo seislanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it to us, v'kayem eshvuaso, and he kept his promise. So it's not X, it's Y. What is it, not X? It's not X. Don't think it's that I think it's kochi v'otzim yadi. It's not my own strength. It's not because I'm such a great soldier. Because to capture Eretz Yisrael, you had to have some great military strategy. You're going up against the giants. So to be able to have a military victory, you need to have a plan. You don't just, you know, go poof, poof, poof. There's a plan. So one might think, wow, Tzahal, whatever, must be great. No. That when I bring this basket, it's a recognition that this came from produce from the land. And the land came not because we fought for it, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised it to us. And he kept his promise. That's the whole statement, the whole purpose. And there are a lot of great marmakomos that I left off that show this is all just to say that it's not kochi v'otzi yadi. So there's almost like this default that if not for this statement, a person would be thinking kochi v'otzi yadi. The whole mitzvah bikurim is for him to root out of his psyche kochi v'otzim yadi. Because, you know, a person's feeling really good about himself, really, really smug. He's got his grain working, he's got his fruit, everything's working on 6 cylinders, 8 cylinders, and he's sitting in, you know, in the 80s, they call it Schaefer City. He's sitting great. He's fantastic. He's got everything going. He's got his grain. He's got his fruits. Everything's clicking. Business is clicking. Everything going good. I'm a great businessman. I'm a great soldier. My mighty self is just producing. I have all the business acumen. I read all the entrepreneur books. And he's good. And now he's making the statement, it's not kochi v'otzim yadi, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us the land, and that's why God, that's the mitzvah bikurim. This is remarkable. That's remarkable too. This is remarkable. Because if you look, and I apologize, there was only one Maromokum that was out of order, but If you look at 8a, you just skip down. It's the first pasuk in Balak, Vayar Balak. So I didn't have to write the pasuk. Vayar Balak, Adam meforsam limluin milchama. Adam was a warrior, a great military strategist. Ka'amru, as it says, ato tov ato mibalak mimtziva melech moav. Ra, he saw, shebikesh Yisrael lava beretzichon. Balak saw that Klal Yisrael wanted to go into Eretz Sichon, the land of Sichon. Ukshlo nosan lavar hechirmu. And when he didn't let them pass, hechirmu, he wiped them out. The Ra, he saw, shenitzku lo bederech tachpulos mochama. Balak saw that Klal Yisrael was victorious over Sichon and was victorious and got into the land of Israel. Shelo b'derech milchama. It was not normal. It was lo normal, you say in Hebrew. It was not normal. So Balak was able to see that this was not anything other than supernatural. He knew that it was the Ribbono Shelom, as the Farshim say. He got Bilam to want to curse Klal Yisrael. He saw that it was the Ribbono Shelom. So right away, this is fascinating. Here you have Klal Yisrael coming to bring the Bikurim. Klal Yisrael, who are Bnei Torah, who are doing mitzvahs. He's schlepping his Bikurim in a basket and schlepping it to the Harabayas. He's doing all these things. And in the back of his mind, he's thinking, Kochi Votzim Yadi, when Balak, Harasha, was able to know that it was Ribbono Shelom. There's already something fascinating here. So the rest of the Shmuzim, maybe you could say, are just the Chiddush is already there, but it just paints such a picture. So what happened when the Klal Yisrael went to Sichon? They had to go through Sichon, they had to go through Og Melech Bashan. So what happened? So just take a look at number 6. This is just Pashut. You know, everyone knows this probably, Psukah and Rashi. But I mean, when I was preparing the Shmuz, when you chaz it over, you say, oh yeah, wow, that's pretty amazing. And Sichon in 6 did not let Klal Yisrael go through their boundaries. Vayesu Sichon is kol amo. So Sichon gathered his nation, Vayetzi likras Yisrael midbara, and they went to greet Klal Yisrael, greet to kill. Vayavo Yotza, they came to Yotza, Vayilachem Yisrael. Take a look at this Rashi, fascinating Rashi. Vayetze lekras Yisrael. So Sichon went to greet Klal Yisrael. This is in Parshas Chukas. Ilu hoysa cheshbon mleya yitushin. Rashi says that if cheshbon was filled with gnats, if there were no inhabitants in cheshbon, Sichon was the king of cheshbon. So if the city of cheshbon was only filled with gnats or mosquitoes, ein kol beria yichol lechabsha. No one could penetrate. No one would be able to capture Cheshbon, even if the only inhabitants there were gnats, mosquitoes. V'mhaya Sichon b'kfar cholash, and if Sichon would have been in a weak village, poorly fortified, ein kol adam yachol lekabsho. No, if Sichon himself, the king Sichon, was in a very weak village, no one would be able to capture him. V'koshken shayeh b'cheshbon. Certainly, if it was in Cheshbon, which was fortified, though it was so fortified, nobody could get through. Amar, so how did Klal Yisrael wipe out Sichon? Great military strategy. Watch this military strategy. If you can do this, you can capture the world. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Mani matriach al bonai kol zos. Why should I bother my people to have to go door-to-door combat, city to city to city to city to capture? Lotzer, I'll call ear to ear to go to every city and capture them. I have an easier trick. It's a great, if you could figure this out. Nosam belev kol anshel mochama. He put into the hearts of every soldier, lotzer ismenayoros, to leave their cities. Menitzkabsku kum mokam echad. This is a great military maneuver. Take all your soldiers from all the different posts, north, south, east, and west, and bring them all into one big huddle in the center of a big field, v'sham naflu. They were all sitting there, open, terrace open, And then Klal Yisrael just wiped them out. Then the Klal Yisrael went to the cities, expecting to fight. There was no one there except women and children. There was no one there. They wiped them all out. They were just a great military strategy. Wow. You know, you walk out after this, you know, we are good. We are good. So this was Lo Bederech Milchama. Okay, Balak figured this out. That was number one. Then they had to take care of Og. How'd they get rid of Og? Og's pretty, if Og is not against you, is against you, you're not in good shape. So took a look at the word in Brachos. How'd they beat Og? This is Rashi in the end of Chukas refers you to Brachos. So I just quoted here the Gemara in Brachos. Even shebikesh Og melchaboshuk lizrak al Yisrael, Gemara Gemirila. Okay. The rock that Og wanted to kill Klal Yisrael with is Alach l'moshmi. Sinai, Omar, Machan Yisrael kamahave. You got to take a look at this Gemara. File it. Machan Yisrael kamahave. How big is Klal Yisrael? So they answered, Tlosa Parsi. Three parsos. They're three parsos by three parsos. I don't know how much a parsa is, but it sounds like big. Klal Yisrael takes up, it's like 600,000 men between 30 and 60, plus women and children, a couple of million people, spread out over three parsos by three parsos. Sounds like it's a lot of territory. So what happened? Ezel Algo, the Iker Tura Bartlosa Parsi. He picked up, I'll go and I'll pick up a rock that's three parsos. The Ishtiolai, and I'll throw it on top of them. Vektalino, I'll kill all of them with one rock. So Ozel Og went, Okar Tura Bartlosa Parsi. He took a rock, a mountain to us, but a pebble to him. He took a mountain that was three parsos by three parsos. The Icy Al Reshe, he put it on top of his head. The Icy Kucha Brichu, Akadosh Baruch Hu came. Allah Akhajbo came to him, Kamsi, he sent over their ants, Vinagvua, and they made a hole. They bored a hole in this rock, Vinachis Bitsavari, and it got stuck around his neck, this rock, this mountain. Boyle Mishafei, he wanted to take it off, Mashki Shine Lahaigisa Lahaigisa. So his teeth grew from both sides, low muscle mishvei. His teeth locked in the rock. He couldn't get it above his teeth. His upper tooth, or I don't know. The Hanuk Siv, Shnei Rishoam Shibarta, Shine Rishoam Shibarta. The teeth of Rishoam you broke. But I don't know. I just happened to notice I was preparing the Shmuz last night, and the Slichas this morning, you take a look, it says something about the teeth of Rishoim. So I said, I was a little excited. It's probably referring to this. But I didn't really research. You tell me, let me know. They grew. Moshe Kamahava, how tall was Moshe? Eser Amos, he was 10 Amos tall. 10 Amos is, depending on if you have an Ishir or other Ishir, it's minimally 15 feet, maybe bigger. Shogil Narga, he picked up an axe, Bar Eser Amon, that was 10 Amos tall. Shavar Eser Amon, he jumped 10 Amos. Umachia Bekursle Bekutle, and he swung at Og, and he chopped off his ankles, because now he was like busy with the rock on his head. So he took an axe 10 Amos, and he jumped 10 Amos, and now he's 20 Amos tall, like 40 feet tall. And then he took a swipe at Og, and he cut off his ankles. That's how he killed him. Great military strategy. So they teach this in military school. This is awesome. It's a great military strategy. Then, okay, I don't go through the whole thing with Nachli Arnon, but basically it's also in Chukas. You can look in the Rashi's. I put it over there. So basically the which two nations were there? The Amoris and the uh, and the Moavim. They were on these mountains. At the top of the mountain were very close, these two mountains. They're very close to each other. The people on the top, we're able to talk to the people on the top of this mountain. So the Amori and Moavi were up here. And the way to go through the mountain is on the bottom, through the valley, the Nachal Valley. And there were all these, one mountain had these, big protruding edges. And the other mountain had these caves. And they were all, they came up with this plan that Klai Yisrael is going through the valley. They'll hide in the caves, and when they go underneath the valley, they'll throw all the rocks on top of them. They'll kill out Klai Yisrael. It's a great, great idea. And when Klai Yisrael went through, Kadosh Baruch Hu shook the mountains. So the points in this mountain went into the caves in this mountain, and it killed out all of the Amorim and Moavim. That's how they died. Klai Yisrael knew nothing. They were just they're walking through and didn't know anything. You'll see the Rashis. And they didn't know anything until they got to the other end. They see blood and limbs coming out from them. They didn't know what happened. But that was also nice. So they wiped out Sichon, Og, Moav, Amori, and Chorobolok, Sid. This is not normal. But Klai Yisrael is coming and say, Kochiv Otsam Yadi, also Sachai Lazeh. Ah. This was our military. We have to make a mitzvah bikurim that he should not think that the capture of Eretz Yisrael was because of their military might. Crazy, insane. Take a look at this Rambam. It's just the last Mar Mokum. Take a look at this Rambam. The Rambam says, Hamevias bikurim, someone who brings bikurim, yesh lo rishus litnei, Le'avdo, you ought to give bikurim to your slave, the krovo, and your relatives, b'chol aderech, in the road, ad shemegiyah l'harabayis, until you get to harabayis. Higiyah l'harabayis, once you get to the harabayis, notel hasal akseifo, you put the sal on your shoulders, hu ba'atzmo, he himself, afilu haya melech godol shem Yisrael. Even if he's a melech godol in Klai Yisrael, David HaMelech. V'nichnas ad shemegiyah l'azorei, and he goes until he reaches the Azur, and he says, while still on his shoulders, he got yom Lashem Lokecha, I say to Hashem Hashem, and he says this whole speech. This speech that he's Eincha Kofoy Tov. He's not a Kofoy Tov to say the Kochiv Otsam Yadi, Asil San Chai Lazeh, Lichbo Shazaretz. This David Melch also has to say this, so he shouldn't think Kochiv Otsam Yadi. Melech Godol be Yisrael has to bring this Bikurim and say, it's not Kochiv Otsam Yadi. It was not my, he wouldn't say this. He would think Kochiv Otsam Yadi. It's his military might. How could he think such a thing? How's that possible? With these, this is how they captured Eretz Yisrael. Sichon, Hashem put into their hearts to all gather in one place. It's the number one rule. Keep your troops separate. Even Yaakov did that with Esav, he separated them. Yeah, they all came together. And then Moshe Rabbeinu killed Nais, his teeth grew. Just at that moment. And Nachli Arnon, the mountains moved. Ever so slightly, earthquake, exactly at that moment. And Balak himself knew it was Ribbono Shalom. And we're talking about not just Stam, you might say these people that are secular, they're secular Jews, they didn't realize. No! The Rambam says it's even a Melech Godol be Yisrael. David HaMelech himself would have to do this. And if he wouldn't do it, there would be a little residual Kochiv Otsam Yadi feeling. So how's it possible? So we see from here, with the Kashas, the Teretz, we see from here that how easy it is. We are very susceptible, even though it's not logical. It isn't logical. But a human being has the... It's almost natural. It's a natural feeling to feel like we're in control. And we don't recognize, so easy to forget, all the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Just a powerful, powerful kochos hanefesh, that even something which is so clear that we could fathom to possibly think kochi v'otzem yadi, and he's going to Yerushalayim, schlepping the stuff to Yerushalayim. What's he schlepping it for? He's schlepping it to the base of Mikdash. You think that would be enough, schlepping it to the base of Mikdash? And what's going to eradicate the second idea? What is going to eradicate this feeling, kol chivyot tziyadi? Who's he talking to? Oh, so I've got last Sephorno, about number 5. I didn't read that. Afal pi shelo, he brings to the Kohen asher yeh b'yam ha'mehem, afal pi shelo yeh gadol b'chachma. Sephorno is medayik, the Kohen that's around during that day. What do you mean around that day, in those days? Afal pi shelo yeh gadol b'chachma. It's not like the over there by the Rambam, it was even the Gadol, Melech Gadol, B'chachma. And here we're saying, and you have to take it to the Kohen, even though the Kohen is not a Gadol B'chachma. Lo sechtam l'dabri mo b'kavod b'mecha Hashem l'kecha. Even if it's not a Kohen, that's a Gadol, a Tam B'chachma. So you're basically talking to the wall. There's the person coming, is David HaMelech, okay? And he has to be misorer, inspire himself. So he's going, you think he's going to Chaim Kanievsky. He's been going to the Gadol Hadar. He's going to the Gadol Hadar to get his spylus. He's going to go to a shmooze and going to wipe out the kochi votzim yadi feeling. Who's he going to? Some dumbwit, you know, who happens to be there. He's not learned. You could have the Kohen who's Kohen Gadol doesn't know. He doesn't know. And the Talmud Chacham's going. So he's not getting any spylus practically from the Kohen Gadol. But just uttering the words, just uttering the words to say, I'm not a Kafoy Tov, and I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, and that in itself makes it such a big roshim on the person to eradicate this, So to speak, law of nature that we just can't help, but we always go back to it. And that's why Musar is so important. Just to chazer over, just to say over the simple things. What does the Musar help? Just saying it over. So it's a very big incentive to, first of all, learn Musar, but even during davening, you know, when we say the davening, if we just concentrate the certain parts of davening, just concentrating on what some of the words mean, that could make such a big roshim. We could possibly think that, what does davening do? Okay, we yotze davening, but what did it do? But look to see what a bitois fasayim, just saying it out, what it could accomplish. It's got to be a pretty powerful feeling if the feeling of kochi yotze yadi exists, even in this situation, that a David HaMelech doesn't chop something that Bullock chops, and all these amazing nisim took place, and he thinks that we captured Eretz Yisrael for kochi votzim yadi. That's supposed to be a pretty powerful feeling. If he still feels it then, you would think, like, well, what's the use? This guy's hopeless. And how is he going to become back to snap back into reality? Just makes one statement. And that already makes a very big roshim. So, first of all, to Deher, that we are very susceptible ourselves. And to stop and realize that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, it's not kochi votzim yadi, although we may have tremendous talents, but just to have to stop and realize the makir tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all these things, but nisim gluyim, galim, you know, from the first day we're born, childbirth is a nes gali. But we're so susceptible to thinking that things are coming to us, so if we stop and appreciate what a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, that already makes it easier for us to have a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. That how susceptible we are, that we must find a way to stop in our tracks. We don't want to go through life, you know, obviously we're not talking about Sichon and Og right now. That's not what's on, but there are other things in our specific lives that we're doing the same thing to. We start thinking that we're capable, whether it's pure Nisim. We have to stop and realize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. We may not be privy. Okay, we have a Rashi over here. We have a Sfarno telling us what happened in Og and what happened in Sichon. But we have to be able to appreciate that and to realize how powerful just stopping for a few moments and just saying over the words make a tremendous roshim on itself to give us the inspiration to be able to daven as Hashem during these special times, to be able to daven and make a big roshim on ourselves to give us the inspiration we need.